Well, I must say it's a joy for us to be with you today and really to take time to thank you as a local assembly for your prayers and your encouragement and your fellowship. But we are grateful for your prayers, as you know, Patsy's condition for the past few months. But the Lord has graciously helped. You know, we hear Ryan and cancer, and for us as a family, we shake whenever we hear that word. So we've had our share, and as the Lord has brought us through, we seek with the help of the Lord to encourage others who are going through the same trial of having cancer. We need to pray for one another. I'll let Patsy tell you of the gospel she preaches to the sisters and so forth. But again, we say thanks, and part of the exercise that I have is to be able to go to the local assembly and say thanks for upholding us in your prayer and your support for the past few months. But this morning, we were occupied with the love of God. And the hymn that we sang, 316, that we opened with, Savior, who can e'er forget or cease to bless thy name, which alone hath power to move and every heart inflame. Never was love so great as thine, never was bounty so divine. Ransom mortals, feel the grace which angels love to trace. Never was love so great as thine. And the exercise on my heart at the present moment is for us to ask ourselves, where are we in relationship to the love of God? We're going to use the children of Israel as an example for us because the warnings that God gave to them is very much applicable to us today. I'm going to take a somewhat different approach to the scriptures per se this morning. If we can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we'll just put some verses together and ask the Lord's help to guide us through. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3. And it came to pass, Deuteronomy 1, 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, the east border of Jericho. So we have to do a little bit of math right now. So if you're one of those math students, this is for you. So in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, we have Moses speaking to the people in the 11th month on the first day. So we're not looking for exact answers because then we start getting technical. But let's kind of put it in today's vernacular and our calendar and so forth. So on the 11th month of, the first of the 11th month would be what for us? November 1st. November 1st. All right, let's see, yeah. He remembers his math. Okay. But then in Joshua, it says, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. So that's the next year. The 10th day of the first month would be for us?
January.
January. The first day of the 11th month to the 10th day of the first month would be approximately how many days?
70.
About 70 days, right? 70 days. So this message, or the book of Deuteronomy, was basically put together roughly in about 70 days. It's Moses' words to a new generation, as it were. It's the end of their wandering in the wilderness. And with all the problems that they encountered in the wilderness, the generation that left Egypt is not going into the land of Canaan. So now Moses has to go over certain things with them, because it's a new generation and Moses is not going to be with them when they enter into the land of Canaan. Moses is not going to be with them. But I would ask you, in your private time with the Lord, to try to reference how many times you see the word remember and the word forget in the book of Deuteronomy. Just try to reference that. The number of times that you see the words remember and forget in the book of Deuteronomy. Because as human beings, and even as human Christians, they only can be human Christians, we are prone to forget and we are prone not to remember. Well, it's about the same. And constantly, the Lord has to bring us to this point. Don't forget. Remember. And if we were to go to back into Deuteronomy, chapter 7, I believe. Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, 7. It says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. When were these words spoken to the children of Israel? After the 40 years of wandering. They would have never known the love of God had God not told it to them. And he told it to them after their misbehaving, as we would say. 40 years in the wilderness, God had to deal with their murmurings and their tempting him and their disobedience. And coming to the end of it all, God said to them, I have loved you. Loving a people like that, yes. By the time we get to Malachi chapter 1, God says to the people again, I have loved you. And their response to him was, when did you love us? Can you imagine, beloved saints, that for 40 years God put up with the rebellion of his people, their disobedience, their murmurings, they're tempting him, and they're asking him, when did you love us? That's what he's asking us. Remember, and don't forget. But as we go through the line of this theme of love and God's love for us and our response to that love, we have to be able to search our hearts and ask the Lord to really show us where are we in relationship to his love. John chapter 21. The Lord brings Peter and some of the disciples with him after they had gotten, as it were, off course. Because as believers, we're prone to get off course. The Lord was seeking to help Peter understand his own heart before the cross. Peter, you're going to deny me. Lord, you don't know what you're saying. Lord, you know, among us, there are those that I know who may deny and betray you and, you know, not be faithful. But Lord, I know I'm going to do it. Peter, listen to what I am saying to you. And Peter, as it were, became so agitated that he began to, you know, to get angry with the Lord. I am not going to do this. And the Lord says, you know, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And the scripture tells us, between the second denial of Peter and his third denial, it was the space of about 1 hour. And beloved saints, you just think as to the state that you and I can be in for 1 hour after we have done something so wicked in the sight of the Lord that Peter is saying, I know not the man. And an hour went by, and as it were, his conscience is not pricked. As it were, his heart is not touched by the fact that he had already denied the Lord twice. And the Lord allowed 1 hour to go by between the second and the third denial. And then the third one came, and the cock crew. And Peter went out and wept bitterly, the scripture tells us. But thanks be unto God that we also read that when the Lord Jesus told him, you are going to deny me, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And then when we come to John 21, he says to him three times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter kept saying, well, you know, I'm fond of you. And then the Lord asked him, Peter, are you fond of me? That's the last one. And Peter's response was, you know all things. How did Peter get to that point? That is where the Lord wanted him to be all along. He had tried before the cross. Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter should have been able to say back then and then, yes, you know all things. So what can I do to avoid denying you? Peter should have said it then. But the Lord wanted to search the heart of Peter that he would come to know himself, because we are apt to forget and we are so quick to not remember. And then we get the Ephesian saints. Paul spent a considerable amount of time with the saints at Ephesus. On one occasion in Acts chapter 20, we see him calling the elders and trying to encourage them, take heed to yourselves and the flock of God that he has purchased with his own blood. Take heed, be careful as to that which may come in, and be careful of that which is on the inside. Be careful, he called them, he warned them, he encouraged them. We have the book of Ephesians. The highest truths that we often say that can be taught amongst the people of God, it is found in the book of Ephesians. What happened? Go to Revelation chapter 2. Ephesians. They had left their first love. And you and I have to be very careful, beloved, because there is the constant need to check ourselves. And we say it, and we say it respectfully, regardless of how long you may be on the path as a Christian, you have to be careful, because the enemy of our souls knows what it is that can take us off the path and can draw our affections away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows. So we have to be careful. Do we really love the Lord? And how can that be known? If we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. For the next few minutes, we just seek to encourage ourselves. Because we, as the hymn says, Savior, who can e'er forget or cease to bless thy name, which alone hath power to move and every heart inflame. We want that our hearts be inflamed, burning with affections for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that being like the children of Israel when they heard the words of the Lord, I have loved you. When did you love us? Can you imagine us Christians telling the Lord, when did you love us? He says, go back to Calvary. Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Always have to go there. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1, it says, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. To put it simply, if you were to go to Psalms 119, and it's a nice exercise to take up, you know, at one of the ministry meetings, it's just 176 verses, and you know, we can deal with that in about an hour's time. Oh, yeah. You would see that Psalms 119, in so many ways, so many aspects, deals with the Word of God. And so Moses is saying to this generation, this new generation that is now getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, he is telling them to love the Lord their God and to remember his word that he has given to them in 70 days, approximately. Moses is taking, as it were, time to encourage this generation. Very soon, he is going to leave the scene and Joshua is going to be taken over. But he is telling them, in order for your love to be maintained and your heart to be inflamed concerning the love of God, you must have an affection for his word. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, around verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Commandments? Oh, yes. We're not under law? Yes. We're not under law. But it is that which guides us in this day of ruin, beloved saints. It is the word of God that you and I must have an affection for. What is lacking? That we have put aside this book. This book does not have priority in our lives as it ought to. In this very book of Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Beloved saints, if you and I want to love the Lord our God, we must have an affection for his word. I want to know what the Lord has said, and I want to be able to be faithful to it. In same Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. So now it's not just loving his word, but now it's the willingness to hear it, and now to do it. James warns us not to be hearers only. You ever had this response? What did Brother Joe speak on today? Oh man, he had a real nice message. Yeah, but what did he talk about, man? You know, Brother Joe. You know. Yeah, but what was the message about? Yeah, you open his Bible and you know, Brother Joe. But what did he talk about? What was the message all about? And we just keep going around and round and round and round, and as though the message was preached and we heard it, but it never made an impact on us. Because the message was just a nice message. And the Lord has to deliver us from simply hearing nice messages. regardless of what he's speaking to me directly from his servant, from his word, and it's not just a nice message. He wants me to be a doer of what I have heard as well. So Moses is telling them, it's not just enough to hear the word of God. You must walk in all his ways and do what? To cleave to the Lord. There has to be the sticking to the Lord like glue. Where is that? Do I really love the Lord? Am I sticking to him as glue, beloved? I have to ask myself honestly in his presence, is that true of me? Cleave. Isn't that what Barnabas told the new believers in Antioch? When they heard the word of God and they believed that Jesus was Lord. And he went and he exhorted them. He says, I want you to cleave to the Lord with purpose of hearts. No retreat. Don't give up. Cleave to the Lord. And beloved saints, we just don't want the outward. We want the inward. This is what the Lord desires from us. My son, says the wise man, give me your heart. And this is what the Lord is asking of you and asking of me. Give me your heart. Not just to hear the word, but to walk in it and cleave to the Lord. Beloved, as you and I consider these things, and there's one more in verse 13 of the same chapter 11. It says, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's not just important for us to hear. He wants us to respond in our walk and cleave to him. But now he wants for us to show our love for him in service. How did Casting Crown puts it? If we are the body, why aren't his hands serving? Why aren't our feet walking? And you all know the rest of the hymn, right, Jeanette? We got that. Beloved saints, just think about it. The Lord called 12 men to be with him so that he may send them out. One betrayed him. One betrayed him. But then he said to those remaining, the 11, when he was about to be received up in glory, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And before he even said that in John 20, it says, he breathed on them and says, receive ye Holy Ghost. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. In the book of Acts, we are told that it was these men who turned the world upside down. It seems as though the world is still upside down. Why? They had been with the Lord Jesus. And beloved, he says, go and make disciples of men. What is our service for the Lord today, beloved? How are you and I serving the Lord at this present moment? These are questions you and I have to answer for ourselves. But I can tell you that this generation that Moses was taking time to encourage before they enter into the land, he wanted to see some positive things in them, not just to go in and be caught up with all that they can obtain there in the land of Canaan. It was a people, just think about it, beloved saints, that for 40 years, they knew nothing of putting grain in the soil and watching it grow. They knew nothing of that. God provided for them. They knew nothing about work. But when they entered into the land, they will have to work. They will have to build themselves houses and so forth. But God did not want them to be overcome by, yes, the legitimate things of life. You still have to take time for my word. You still have to take time to walk in my ways. You still have to take time to cleave to me. And you need time to serve the Lord, beloved saints. And what is scaring me today is that the things of the Lord are being put on the back burner, as it were. And everything else comes first. And the things of the Lord are suffering. Because we say we love him. He says, why? You know, this people honored me with their lips and their hearts are far from me. He says, look, if you love me, you have to show it. You and I just can't talk about the love of God. And when you and I think of the depths of this love that God showed to us, when the angels sinned, God right away dealt with them and that sin, expelled them out. And the angels saw man sin and they're now waiting to see what God would do with the man that had sinned. And they saw how he made provision to cover man, clothe him with the skin of an animal. And they watched throughout the centuries as God is dealing with man and man's sin is multiplying. From the time of the flood to the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. They saw how God dealt with sin and in man. But he kept on proving and keeping man for himself. Angels are wondering what is wrong with God. They are in the Garden of Gethsemane, beloved saints. As the Lord Jesus is praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And the scripture tells us that his sweat were as great drops of blood falling to the ground. And the angels are looking down. Give us the command to do something. Nothing was done, beloved saints. As the angel watched, scripture says, not my will, but thy will be done. One angel came and strengthened him for that work that he had to do on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, beloved. How can I forget? When the angels are longing to understand this love story, I make light of it in my soul. Doesn't want us to forget, beloved. He doesn't want us to forget it. And so for all eternity, the marks of love will be on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be there. I say to those of us, not personal, I want you to at least remember the Lord once before you get to heaven. Anyone who is not remembering the Lord in this life, don't get to heaven without having remembered him down here. Don't do it. Because for all eternity, every time you take a glimpse at him, well, you won't be occupied with anything else. Your eyes will be fixed on him. It will constantly remind you of his love for you that was demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. Don't get to heaven without once remembering him on the earth. Don't do it. May the Lord stir us up and look for him and encourage us for his name's sake.